assemble a team that will make you proud. I can promise you this. We're going to have players that will compete. That will compete every day. That will compete to be the best that they can be. That will be great teammates.
Here's your game. Here's Russell Wilson man. Wilson throws. Caught. Hollister's hit on the goal line. It's on by Ray Greenlaw. He is short. 49ers come away with the ball. The 49ers have stopped.
Feels great, baby.
That's some bad mofo.
I'm so happy he's on my team.
Feels great, baby.
Welcome to the Fourth and Goal Podcast. We are back. As always, I'm Javi. That is Fern. Check everything out at Fourth and Goal Podcast on Twitter. And then, of course, check out everything at 49ers Goldmine. What a week.
Yes, sir. Oh, man, we're close. I'm excited.
Kyle Shanahan put it. So, Fern, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, brother. I'm excited, man. We're getting closer and closer. We're inching our way towards this draft. All the speculation, the press conference. I mean, shit is getting real. And, man, people are starting to freak out. I'm starting to freak out a little bit.
The nerves are there. My anxiety is up. But I still have faith that the pick will be Justin Fields. We'll get into that a little bit later with our tonight. We're just going to break down the press conference and then look into just a three-round mock. Me and Fernando will go back and forth with our, you know, predictions or thoughts on what the Niners could or should do with the first three rounds of the 2021 draft. So let's talk about the press conference on Monday. A whole bunch of stuff that I figured they would say, a whole bunch of nothing, to be quite honest. They didn't give you anything. I think there was a few hints in there, but they could be perceived any which way. So for shout out to my guy, Jason Aponte, this most of that stuff fit my narrative. So my narrative was, this is telling about a guy who they didn't think was going to get to 12, and that's why they traded up to get him. So I'm going to stick with my theories on the Niners had three guys in mind when they made the trade: Lawrence, Wilson, Fields. They had to get comfortable with the other two, Lance and Mac. And we all know why I feel that way. Just to recap, you know, you don't ask Trey Lance to go see John Beck if you're comfortable with the guy. That means you want to know more about him. And with Mac Jones, I don't think you did anything with him. I think you got most of your information from Steve Sarkisian. But everything tells me this is not Mac Jones. So, to me, it's Lance or Fields. That's what it comes down to. And I think part of it today that kind of made my mind up on the three was the Jags. The Jags today came out with an Ian Rappaport report about, hey, the Jags are still doing Zoom interviews with Wilson, Lawrence, and Fields. It's like, if the first two teams are doing these things, why aren't the Niners associated with Justin Fields? Is this all this smoke and all this stuff to make sure Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke don't take your guy, Justin Fields? Is it all to make sure that the Jets stay focused on Zach Wilson at two? Those things just kind of crossed my mind there. And, you know, going back to the trade initially, you know, we all about the Niners were reported to have called the Eagles. They called the Panthers. They called the Jets. They called every team in front of them, essentially gauging interest on quarterbacks and gauging their interest on their current quarterback. So that just tells me that, you know, they've probably thought that Fields, Lance, those guys weren't going to make it to 12. So, of course, you move down and you get the opportunity to get to kind of control that. Benjamin Albright had spoken a while ago that said if anyone wanted to get to Lance, you'd have to get to three. Who got to three? The Niners got to three. Also, there's a lot of connections of Justin Fields to Atlanta at four. So that always brings me back to those thoughts. And the only time that Mac has been tied to anyone inside the top 10 is the minute the Niners – move to the top three. So that doesn't mean, you know, it just doesn't add up. I don't understand how you have Daniel Jeremiah has him as his 32nd best prospect, yet he's going to mock him three and then go on live television and say, you know, Denver shouldn't draft him this high at nine, but you're okay mocking him at three. These contradictory statements just kind of raise red flags for me and kind of perk up my ears. You know, most scouting communities You know, Tony Pauline, a guy at Pro Football Network, has Mac Jones at 25 on his big board. You know, and also I think he's the fifth best quarterback in his in his rankings. You know, there's a whole bunch of people out there that are the only one that has him at that high is Chris Sims. And I think everyone takes Chris Sims' word as gospel, but he was on Matt Maiocco's podcast today and kind of hedged a little bit, you know, saying, yeah, Kyle doesn't tell me anything. And, you know, these are just my thoughts on this quarterback situation. It just kind of blows my mind there.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is where I start to get a little freaked out. And I hope you were right, because I do hope it's Fields at this point. I would like to think we didn't go ahead and, sacrifice the assets that we did to get to three for a guy that, in my belief, would have been there at 12 anyway. And we've talked about this a few times. But, you know, this press conference and then all this Mac Jones at three talk. I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. This thing has me a little fucking worried. And I would have hoped, and I'd like to think that, you know, Kyle has learned that, you know, learned from maybe some of the mistakes he's might have made in the past. Not necessarily that he doesn't have an eye for a quarterback, but I mean, you can't be the end all, you know, type of I'm going to make this offense what I want to make it, and I can do it with this guy, and this guy's going to be like. At some point, you need some athleticism and you need that. And we've had it with, you know, we've seen what it looks like with a guy like Jimmy. We've seen what it looks like with CJ. I mean, we've seen what it looks like over the years. And I'm praying that this guy doesn't let his ego. And again, Kyle's a brilliant young man, but I'm hoping he doesn't let that ego of his, because you know he's got an ego. I mean, you hear the way he answers some of these questions on the press conference. I mean, this guy, he's tired about answering questions about this. You know, he's sticking to the, there's five guys. You know, I'm good with any of them if they fall to 12, but we wanted to move up so we get our pick. And I get it, and they did all that, but damn it if they did all that for Mac Jones at three. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, the writing's on the wall that's why they made the move, because they didn't think Fields would be there at three. And I don't care what anybody's mock draft said. I mean, Justin Fields isn't getting picked in the 20s. I promise you that. And if one guy is going to slide, I think it's definitely going to be Mac.
Sorry, I don't think anyone can hear me. Sorry. Eric Davis said that his source said Mike likes Mac. What do you think, Javi? Yes, I think Mike likes Mac Jones. I think Mike likes guys who are accurate, but I also think Mike is smart enough to know that when he had success, he had a Steve Young. He had John Elway. Even Jay Cutler, to an extent, was rather mobile, powerful arm, moved enough in the pocket and out of the pocket to make those things happen. You know, Eric Davis, you know, he has a source. It's great. It's Eric Davis. But I also know, listening to Eric Davis a couple times, that you know, he said earlier on in the season that Jimmy wasn't going to be on this team, and he heard it from a coach that he was benched. And then two pods later, it's a completely different subject. So I don't know where to stand on some of those things. But I think there's a lot of smoke here. I think there's a lot of playing with the media. I think we all know very well that Kyle can't stand press conferences. And I think we all know Mike Shanahan doesn't like the media. So I think this could be a really big fuck you to the media by saying, hey, look, we like Mac and Lance. We don't want you guys to have any insight on Justin Fields as our guy. You know, we want to make sure we can kind of work our way through all this quietly. It doesn't make sense to me with the Mac Jones stuff. You know, Kyle spoke of a lot of these things. He keeps, if anyone really pays attention to his press conference throughout the year, he spoke of the athletes that are coming up. They're more athletic quarterbacks. The athlete is playing the quarterback position. He said it again in his recent press conference. Those things matter to me. So, The guys that are athletes are the top four guys: Wilson, Lawrence, Fields, and Lance. And then you have your more traditional guy with a Mac Jones. Now, will I be upset if Mac Jones is the pick? I'd be rather disappointed. It's just like I just don't understand how you go from Jimmy Garoppolo to, I'll say it again, Diet Coke Jimmy Garoppolo, because it doesn't make much sense to me to do that. And when you hear other guys. You know, it's one thing to have it written, and then if you don't really start paying attention to other, you know, all these other pundits when they're on different radio shows or different podcasts or wherever they're putting out other content, they kind of contradict themselves quite a bit. You know, I heard one guy say, yeah, Mac Jones has a really good deep ball. And then, you know, in two days on a different show, he's like, well, that deep ball kind of dies on him. Like, which is it? You know? So it's just one of those things that kind of worries me with this whole process. Real quick, you know, I just said it. Kyle likes to bring up that athletic thing. I have the clip from the press conference. Let me put it on real quick.
Yeah, right. Warren, especially the more high schools, the more Pop Warner. I mean, my kids' flag football team goes no huddle and just shows pictures. They go fast as could be. And man, a lot of people are getting trained in offense in different ways. And so you got a lot much better athletes who are also learning how to play the quarterback position. So, man, you want to find Drew Brees who can move like Lamar Jackson. Like that's – and Mahomes, he's maybe in the middle. Like, whatever. I'm just not being exact. But, like, there's no – guys, this is where it's going. This is where it's been. It'll always evolve.
What's funny about that quote is everyone always focuses on the Drew Brees part. Everything I've heard in the last 24 hours is the Drew Brees part, not the Lamar Jackson part. Why?
It's the narratives, man. I mean, you can't say the Niners want Mac Jones, but then you hear a quote like that. I mean, that doesn't sound like Mac Jones, does it? I mean, you don't have to know a lot about football. You might have not even needed to watch a lot of football or college football to know that that's not Mac Jones's game, right? But he seems like he understands where the NFL has been going, the trend of what works right now. And you know, when it comes to, you know, I think of like basketball and the old traditional center, right? The old guy that just got in the paint. Now if you're that guy who's slow and just gets in the paint and just bangs, like, that's not where it's at. You're going to have to go defend on the three-point line because these centers are you got seven-footers hitting threes and handling the ball like guards. And that's the same thing, right? The game's changed, and either you get with it or you better have a fucking Hall of Fame kind of quarterback like Tom Brady in the pocket getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds or less, you know, getting it out quick, because that's not where the NFL is these days. You're going to get a lot more of these athletic guys rolling around and causing defenses to lose their minds a bit. And that right there is super telling, just that quote right there. And it's makes sense why you moved to three to get a guy that has some of those traits, or at least that you think has those traits. It seems logical at that point, right?
Yeah. You know, with what's crazy though too, is, you know, the folks who have, who keep, you know, like myself and folks like myself and you and some folks that are in the comments here, the common sense factor here is like, you gotta think it's those four: Lance, Fields, Wilson, or Lawrence. You know, I think we all know Lawrence, Wilson going one and two, but it breaks down to Lance and Fields. And when you listen to other folks who kind of bring up the Mac Jones thing, it's always, they're very reluctant when they say it, right? They're like, well, we believe, I think, we've heard. No one's ever so absolute that it's going to be Mac Jones. And they always kind of like, I'll be stunned. And people gave Mike Silver shit over the weekend. But if you read his tweet at the end, he's like, this is my perception. He doesn't think this is going to happen. He's just like, this is, I think, what's happening here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just don't. And then with the press conference, I read a lot of tweets. I read a lot of reports. You know, Kyle was defensive. You know, I think part of it is he's defensive of like, maybe stop pigeonholing me to this Kirk Cousins narrative that this is the only guy I want to work with. And, you know, people don't remember RG3 had spoken highly of Kyle Shanahan. You know, he said there was no problem with them.
Yeah.
You know, there's parts that people miss on that stuff. And I don't think Kyle has an issue with Kirk. I think Kyle had an issue. I mean, Kyle had an issue with I don't think Kyle had an issue with RG3. I think Kyle had an issue with Johnny Manziel. Right. Those kind of things just kind of, you know, perk my ears up. And I have a stupid memory. I memorize everything except for what my wife wants me to do. So yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. I can't get on board with Mac Jones. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. And I mean, logically, everything tells you that Mac's not the guy at three. Is Mac the guy at 12? Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean that makes a lot more sense to me. You're right. Like, why move up if that guy's going to be there at 12? I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense logically to give up assets. But then you think about it and yeah, Kyle's pissed off. I mean, you're asking questions, trying to get something out of him that he's not going to give you. I mean, how many times does a guy have to say, you know, there's five guys. Yeah, you know, there's five guys, and I'm going to, you know, we're comfortable with five guys. Hey, what do you think about Mac? Yeah, you know, I think him, like the other four guys, you know, are guys that can go out there and we can win football games with, and they're NFL, right? Like, he's not going to give you anything. And if there's one thing about this organization currently with John and Kyle, is they're not fucking talking, and they shouldn't, because I'm pretty sure there was a quote where Kyle says he doesn't want the league to know. I mean, it's idiotic to just really blast, right? And nice lights and right. Hey, this is who we want, guys. NFL, all the teams, let's go. We want Fields. We're going to pick him at three if he's there. I mean, what do you do then at that point? Like, there's no leverage. It's all about leverage and leverage and leverage. And you can't sit there and hype up the guy that you want, because then maybe someone goes and snatches him from you, and then we mess everything up in those top two picks. But if the top two picks are written in pen marker and they're pretty much locked in, I think the third pick, Fields, makes the most sense. And it just logically, if I just go out of Twitter and I just turn off my phone and you just look at the facts, and I'm okay with being wrong. If it's Mac, will I be upset? Yeah. Yeah, I will be. And I'll be honest with you. When Eric Armstead was picked, I was upset. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, there might be a video of me dropping to my knees and being pretty disappointed that was our pick that night.
Yeah.
For better, for worse. But I can sit there and say, hey, I was wrong. Yeah, that's a solid player. And I do the same for Mac. I'm going to ride with my Niners, obviously, regardless of who's under center. But all the logical signs point to, we made this move to get a guy that offers more athleticism, and there's only a couple guys in here that can do the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, for, again, I think I was muted earlier, but for those who are listening to the podcast on audio, we are live on YouTube and through Periscope. Right. So one of the comments that came up here, shout out to my guy, DJ Air at One. If you are wrong with Fields, if you are wrong with the Fields pick, you can justify it. You can't justify Mac if you're wrong.
That's a fact. That's spot on.
It's perfect, because you just had a guy like Mac,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, how many times, you know, when you look back during the season, Kyle's talking about the mobility, talking about a guy, you know, from what other people say about Kyle Shanahan, he's wanting a guy that can bail him out every once in a while. Who would bail him out? You know, if he were to redo it again, he probably takes Watson at two or Mahomes at two. You know, if he could do it again, he doesn't sign Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe he waits and takes Josh Allen, you know, like those things, you know, just kind of come back in my head. It's just like, it's hard to justify a Mac Jones when you have these other guys. And if you take Mac is going to be constantly compared to Fields, Lance, because the guys that you passed on, if those guys are taken after Mac. And it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and this is where you've got to hope, right? Fingers crossed that these guys have learned from 2017. I mean, you got to hope, right? I mean, there's nothing that hurts more than seeing Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Deshaun Watson go out there and tear the league up, right? I mean, that has to hurt. I mean, you have to see that, and that has to hurt. You cannot make this mistake again. So when we hear all of the stats of how many Zoom meetings and this, that, and the other, I mean, damn right, you better do your due diligence, because this can't happen. I mean, this is the end. I mean, if something like that happens again and we miss, you're probably not working here a few years from now. And that's the reality of the situation, is they can't mess this up. And hopefully they've learned their lesson from 2017.
Yeah. So I'm going to take some of these questions here. If Mac is the pick, do you think Kyle would be worried about guys like Fields and Lance going too off script? No. Because I kind of point back to the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo has a rushing lane that he can go, he can take, and he had a couple of them. If anyone goes back to the Super Bowl, you can see Kyle, you tell him, fucking go. Like, take it. Like, fucking take it. There's a lane. Yeah. Go. So I think he's okay with going off script. Now, you're not going to go off script, you know, 70 of the 72 plays he calls, you know. You might go off script those 15 that you need him to go off script. And that's where a guy like Lance or Fields will do that. Even a Zach Wilson or, by some miracle, Trevor Lawrence falls to 3, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to want that. You need that in the NFL right now. Sourdough Sam, is there any truth to what Mac or Murphy Mac were saying earlier in regards to Fields being terrible under pressure where Mac is the best? I think that's complete bullshit. I think Fields is definitely better under pressure. He had a worse O-line. I was watching some Mac tape and he looked like Jimmy when there was nothing around him, and he had a much better pocket than Fields had, even Lawrence and Lance at times. So I don't buy that notion. I think, no disrespect to Greg Popper or any of those guys, I think a lot of those guys have that old man mentality when it comes to scouting. And I think Mel Kiper brought it up perfectly. He's like, that stuff is gone now. You got to project now, right? People talk about Mac Jones's accuracy. He's the most accurate quarterback. Okay. Fields, Lance, they're pretty accurate quarterbacks, and you can kind of teach some of those things. And as many layups as Kyle Shanahan dials up in the offense, you're going to increase that completion percentage anyways.
And that's the word teach, right? I mean, that's the big thing here. All of these quarterbacks are going to struggle at certain things here and there. But what I want, and I think I would hope what the 49ers would want, is, hey, I want a guy who can go off script sometimes when they see, hey, this coverage, this man, I've got this lane, I can take off for 15 yards. Hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take off, and I'm not going to hesitate. You know, where Jimmy looked very uncertain and the way he would move around the pocket, and then he'd step up when he maybe shouldn't. And it was just, it would look bad sometimes. And I think he wants that athleticism where, hey, this is here. Just go take it. Take what they give you. If they're giving you 15 yards, get out there, get down, boom, let's keep it moving. But it's about teaching. Like, I would rather be able to teach, hey, you're going off script too much. Another question. Greer, isn't his accuracy completion rate due to RPO screens anyways?
Yeah, I think the yards spoke, Kyle. I think it was over 1,000 yards in screens for Mac Jones and 200 or something for Justin Fields. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we talking about? Of course your accuracy. This is why I had issues with Jimmy Garoppolo this year. You had a whole bunch of those little shuffle passes, 5-yard digs, 5-yard crossers. And of course you're going to complete those. The level of difficulty of those throws was low. You're going to complete those. You're going to have a high completion percentage. We literally watched CJ Beathard throw the ball 6 yards in the air to beat the Arizona Cardinals the entire game. Like, this is Kyle Shanahan dialing up. This is what I'm talking about when I say Kyle can make your completion percentage look great. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, CJ won that game. Cool. Did you look at the passing chart from that game? Does anyone want to see that passing chart? Because I'm going to pull it up. But talk about that game. Just what CJ did in that game. Because I know you remember. We talked about it after that game.
Look, CJ, all of these guys, even the knock on Jimmy. I mean, the way Kyle schemes it, like you said, they're playing checkers out here. I mean, he makes it so easy for them to get completions. It's ridiculous. Like, it is absolutely insane how crazy easy it is and how open. I remember a time where we would watch Javi and we were like, damn, there's no one open. That has not been the case since Kyle has stepped in here. There is, even with lesser talent when we first get here or when he first got here. I mean, he's scheming things open and able to get these completion percentage is up really high, and the stats for Jimmy, if you break it down. But then, like you said, if you really start to look at some of these other things, oh, look at this. I mean,
13 of 22, 182, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
I mean, and
the Niners were in control that entire game.
Unbelievable. And that's how great our coach is. I mean, let's just not Kyle. And this is where I'm like, hopefully Kyle's ego isn't too big for him. Because look, what he could do with a Fields would be insane. I would much rather have a guy and have to rein him in a little bit and say, hey, you got to trust this offensive plan I'm putting together, bro. As opposed to a guy who can't do the athletic things. You know, he might be able to step up in the pocket, Mac, and deliver the ball. But Mac's, you know, potentially in for a rude awakening, because all those studs around him in college, it's going to be a lot different depending on the organization he goes to.
Jimmy Garoppolo versus the Patriots. How do you throw two interceptions?
We got that five for five. The one for one.
Are we starting to see a trend here?
But come on. I mean, this is where it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't, the Mac move doesn't make sense. I mean, the writing's on the wall here. What we need, it's obvious, and I'm hoping it's obvious to this organization and John and Kyle when they sit down and talk. But I mean, look how quick you pulled that up. You don't think they all have that ready on a tablet?
They have way more stuff than I do.
I mean, and the more you dig on the Jimmy stats, the more eye-popping and alarming it really is. And then you kind of can realize why, though we went to a Super Bowl, they're ready to make a move. Red's ass 38. CJ had to make two throws in that game that mattered.
Exactly. I think it was the Kittle throw, and I think it was the other one to Kendrick Bourne. So, yeah, you know, this is just because I missed Sherbert here keeps bringing it up. Kyle schemes things up. Why I need to go off script? Yes, Kyle schemes things up, but sometimes the defense can call something correctly where it just doesn't work. And you know, there's things where, you know, how many times has something been, you know, Kyle probably goes in, he sees something, hey, this is going to work, and then it doesn't. Like, defensive players get paid too. So this is where you need a quarterback to make some things happen. You know, Kyle schemes things up quite a bit. If anyone goes back to the Rams game back in 2019 when they won, yeah, Kyle schemed up a really nice play in that red zone, but the play broke down. Jimmy had to roll out to his right and deliver a strike to George Kittle. This is what I'm talking about when I say off script. That is off script. When your first, second read isn't there, the timing in the pocket is off. You got to go. Jimmy made a decision. He went, threw the ball into the end zone, made a play. That's the type of shit that we're lacking in this offense, right?
Yeah. Even line breakdown and cut, like, someone gets after you. Hey, instead of Jimmy, who might just get railed and hit the ground, hey, you know what? Let's shimmy someone off. Let's roll out and let's pick up 3-4 yards and call it a day. And let's make something positive out of something when everything's falling apart for just a second. It may not even just be the scheme. It could just be a lapse in you know, coverage. And we got to be able to take advantage of those things and be able to piece things together. And we weren't getting any of that for Jimmy. I mean, with Jimmy, it was, this is how it works. If plan A is there, great. But when I have to move on to plan B or C, then it looks really awkward. And I think that's where we're at. Sourdough Sam again. I personally like to go back to Kyle talking about the defense having to play 11 on 11.
I mean, you're giving Kyle Shanahan the cheat code here. He talked about it with RG3. He said, you know, we ran zone read with the running the quarterback 30% of the time. The other 70 was the outside zone. You know, Alfred Morris went nuts that year. And that's what a mobile guy can give you. And when I say mobile, I'm not saying give me a Lamar Jackson. I'm saying give me the ability to do some stuff like Cam did. Give me the ability to do some stuff like Russell Wilson does. Give me the ability to do what Patrick Mahomes has done. Josh Allen, you know, if they need to take off, they'll take off, but they rather throw first and then take off. You know, Cam early on was more running, but as he progressed, he would sit in the pocket unless it was designed power runs that they would utilize. And that's the kind of stuff that you're looking for. The NFL is evolving. You know, DBs and linebackers, safeties are fast as hell. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me McCorkle's going to outrun Aaron Donald?
No, and the second, that's a great point. I mean, you're talking, I can't even picture what it would look like if there was an absolute lapse on an offensive line and just an all-out blitz and he didn't, you know, he didn't have all that room and time to navigate and find these stud wide receivers all over the field. I would be interested to see, and I think we will be able to see it at that point, but it's not even close. We need a little bit of improvisation. We need to be able to improvise on offense when things start to break down, and he's not going to do that, and that's not going to happen with him.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. And, you know, the pushback on that, well, Mac will make the right decision and get the ball out.
Okay,
cool.
Great.
What about the other 15, 16 times the offensive line doesn't hold up? Or the play isn't correct. What happens then? You're kind of looking back at the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, and you're just stuck. I think my guy Eric Crocker said it best. He's like, he went back and watched Nick Mullins tape, and it kind of reminded him of Mac Jones tape. And that's when I threw my phone and I said, I swear to God, if we take Mac Jones, I'm going to have a heart attack. You know, it's crazy.
Like you said too, when you mentioned, you know, that Kyle brought up Drew and Lamar, right? He didn't just say Lamar. He said Drew and Lamar. He wants a guy that can move. He doesn't need a pure running back at the quarterback position, but he wants a guy that's going to deliver a ball with accuracy the way Drew can. And Drew's, you know, crafty and is able to slide around the pocket. But then he also wants somebody that can put that ball, tuck it, and run for a little bit. And that's what it seems like he wants. So when you hear all this, it's Mac at three. It drives me fucking crazy. Like, I'm like, really? It's Mac? What out of what we've seen tells you that is Mac at three, everything he says?
Yeah, he said it. So, man, you want to find Drew Brees who can move like Lamar Jackson.
Exactly.
That is his exact quote. And he's talking about, you know, throughout that whole process of, you know, the athletes, you know, athletes are playing quarterback now. Everything is evolving and the league needs to evolve. You need to evolve too, Kyle. And, you know, you don't want to be pigeonholed with this stigma of I'm only going to take Kirk Cousins type quarterback. That doesn't make any sense. You know,
you say that and then draft Matt? Like, I don't, unless it's all part of some grand conspiracy to make it seem like this is the kind of I don't understand. I'm like playing games in my head. Is he saying this so that we do this? You know,
it doesn't matter to Kyle. We're all gonna be dead on Sunday anyways. Before it
exactly happens. I was gonna say fingers. Those are one of my takeaways. I've got my fingers crossed we're all gonna be here come Sunday so we can keep talking about this draft. I mean, that was hilarious. That was the funniest response to a dumb question. Maybe not a dumb question, but a question that you knew you weren't going to get a really good answer to that question anyway. But I think that was easily one of the funniest responses to that altogether.
How pissed off is Kyle Shanahan at Jimmy Garoppolo? That's the first thing in his mind is, hey, we're all going to be dead on Sunday.
I can't tell you. We're going to be here.
Good is gone, man.
That's good is gone.
And we've talked about it. Me and you've talked about it probably for a while now that this thing with Jimmy was over and folks didn't want to believe it. Like, you don't mortgage your future with a guy who's missed 23 games. It's just the long and short of it, you know. And, you know, there's a couple things that came out once the trade happened that, you know, the team kind of resented Jimmy. I don't know how true that stuff is, but, you know, that's why he lost the Super Bowl. And, you know, Colin Cowherd spoke about how, you know, he didn't come back from injury, and, you know, there's a lot of other things there. You know, where's Jimmy? Everyone's kind of asking the question, where's Jimmy Garoppolo? And, you know, I think Kyle Shanahan is clearly over Jimmy Garoppolo. He kept saying it. How can you be Jimmy Garoppolo sitting at home listening to this press conference and hear Kyle Shanahan say, we're looking for a starting quarterback? I think he said it like 20 times.
Yep.
Like, you're our starter. The last press conference we heard from them, they said Jimmy was part of our future, but now you're looking for a starting quarterback. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. And there's a guy who was in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. You know, you usually get a little bit more leeway, right? I was just in the Super Bowl. Let's get him healthy. Let's get it back on. But not Jimmy, right? So that tells you all you need to know right there. Johnny Sue, defeat the noise, rule the quiet. This campaign ad for Justin Fields. NFL sponsors making Fields a star already. He is a star. I mean, that guy is a guy that's going to sell. I mean, he's like a face of a franchise. And he just seems like a personable, fun kind of kid.
Yeah. What's with Sims putting Justin Fields at pick 32? It's like,
That
doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like, and come on, Sims.
That's where you just get like, there's so much bureaucracy in what they're doing and who they got to make sure they protect. And it just becomes silly, some of these things. It just doesn't like really that far. Are you serious?
Yeah. So I think we both agree that the Jimmy thing is over. He's good as gone. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. So before we get out of here, we're going to go ahead and get to our thoughts on how the first three rounds are going to go. I think everyone understands where we are at pick three. So Fernando, what are you doing at pick three?
I'm going to go Mac. I'm kidding. I'm not going Mac Jones. If Justin Fields is there at three, if the Jets don't throw a curveball, it's going to be Fields at three. I'm picking Fields at three. What about you?
I am also going Fields at three.
Really? I didn't.
I don't think anyone got that.
I didn't get
what
that.
I'm talking about. You know, and the a lot of conversation is, what do the Niners do with that second pick? What are they going to do in round two? What are they going to, you know, see as a priority, or, you know, maybe a best player available type situation? What do you think the Niners do in round two?
Well, this is where I get very, very, I'm a little torn. This is where I get torn. So if everything stays pat, right, and we don't, I'm not making any trades. I know you've got a cool one to go over with us, but if I don't make any trades, there's a cornerback I really like in Tyson Campbell. I know he'll be there. He could be available later, but I don't know if I stand pat again, if he's going to be there all the way out in the hundreds. But I like Tyson Campbell. I'm going to, because I know we need a corner. I'm going to go a little bit of a reach. Maybe it's a little earlier than we need, but I love Tyson Campbell. That's what I'm going, corner, Tyson Campbell, even though, you know, there's Peyton Turner's out there, and that's, I'm a massive Peyton fan. But I'm going to go Tyson Campbell for this one, because I just know it's a need that we need to address.
Good deal. So this is where I start getting a little bit crazy. I do it every year on the pod. Furnace, the first time this year, you're doing the mock draft with us.
This is
first
fun.
Year. The Niners trade back into round one. They get to 23, trade with the Jets. They send pick 43 and 102 to the Jets. The Niners walk away with running back Najee Harris, Alabama. Your backfield now contains Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Najee Harris, and the Justin Fields. I am all in on this offense and allowing Kyle Shanahan to just, you know, just hopefully shit on everybody, right? So I would go,
I'm gonna take Fields a drink
and
for
Harris
that.
As one and two. And yes, Leo got to me, my guy, DJ. Yes, Leo definitely got to me. He sold me on the idea of a Najee Harris to the 49ers, or just a running back in general in round one with Justin Fields. And I think, you know, Javonte Williams could be there. Travis Etienne is one of those guys. But if Najee is the guy, and I think Najee wants to be a Niner. I mean, how many more times is he going to post himself with a Niner logo on his body in the next 48 hours, you know? So, yeah, Najee Harris at pick 23. The Niners no longer have pick 43.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what we do in the second round. But what do you got next, Fernando?
Hey, so my third pick here is, I'm going to go running back, and I'm a little torn. Hey, there's a couple there. And this is where, you know, it gets tough. And I think actually trading up the way you brought it up, I think that makes a lot of sense to be able to get back into that first round. Just with roster space and availability for who's actually going to make this team. I mean, it becomes very interesting when you think about it that way. But I like him. I am interested. I like Cade Johnson, South Dakota State. I like
the wide receiver.
The wide receiver, South Dakota State, Cade Johnson. I want to be able to throw him in this offense. I love that you went running back. It's crazy to think about Kyle picking a running back in the first round, but Jesus, if they could get their hands on him, oh my goodness, that would be, what a first round that would be. That would be some kind of first round with Fields and Najee. Wow. Yeah. But I'm going to go Cade. What about you with all these trades? What pick are you at now for you?
So real quick, Cade Johnson was at the Senior Bowl. Super nice kid.
Yeah. What'd you
Excellent
think?
Route runner, really good hands.
Mm.
I enjoyed his personality on the field.
Okay.
Reminded me of a KB, not dropping passes or whatever, like everyone likes to think, but energetic guy. From what I understand, when I talk to him, you know, pretty hard worker, just all around, just good dude. So yes, I like the Cade Johnson selection there. Solid pick, Fernando. I'm trading again, and this trade is Jimmy Garoppolo is sent to Washington. The Niners receive pick 51 and 82. At pick 51, I go with a guy that I really, really like. Edge rusher out of Washington, Joe Tryon. Guy is a fit for this defense, hand in the dirt, stand up, pass rusher. Whatever you need him to do, he can do that. I don't think the 49ers want to give Nick Bosa a full load this year. Should want to see if you can get a Joe Tryon in there with a Samson Ekwuabom, and see what happens with Arden Key. What can he do? You get yourself a nice heavy rotation of speed rushers, guys who have long, who are just lengthy, you know, real good arm length. You know, I think Joe ran a 4.51 at his pro day, rather strong. He's a little raw. Hands are pretty good. That's a guy that I really, really like. So my first three picks, Fields, Najee, Joe Tryon. I think if the Niners walk away from there, they can just hang it up and go home. But
I mean, that's solid, man. He's a freak. He's a freak.
And the Niners receiving, pick 51. I think that's really good value for Jimmy Garoppolo, considering you gave up, you know, pick, what was it, 36 at the time for him. You know, 3 years later, you know, you're only, what's that, 15 other picks.
Yeah, I mean, I saw something on Twitter the other day where someone asked, you know, hey, if you're the Patriots, you know, do you get rid of your first round pick for Jimmy? And if the Niners, would you accept that? And I was like, first of all, if the Patriots are going to give up their first round pick for Jimmy, that you don't even have to finish, like, done, lock it up quick before they realize that they're crazy for giving up that type of pick. But two, I mean, I think that is like perfect value for Jimmy at this point. And the longer you hold on, the worse the value is going to be. I mean, so you got to make that move. And if you can get that type of second round pick, it makes all the sense in the world to go lock it in, because again, Jimmy's not going to be here after Sunday.
Yeah. And I don't think the rest of the world is going to be here, according to Kyle Shanahan. but with that, I also had pick 82. So that was,
oh, you got all those. See, I got to do something crazy. Pick. I got to come up with a crazy one with trades. It was all boring.
You're fine. And then I added cornerback Trill Williams of Syracuse at 82. So the first four for the 49ers.
You like the Cuse boy, huh?
Yeah, I like the Syracuse secondary. You know, I mean, well, I really like Williams and Andre Sisco, to be quite honest.
Okay.
So I would definitely go ahead and take my corner. Then you had hit all your needs. Fields, Harris, Tryon, Trill Williams. And then I think I would go later on in the draft and go get myself another wide receiver. You know, I'm all for Kay Johnson with your selection, but if I can wait a little bit, because I think this class is pretty strong.
Oh, yeah.
You can go a little bit later too. But, you know, I think that's kind of how I wanted to do it. I was going to write it for the 49ers Goldmine website. I think I might just write this out as well so people can just read it and have it and then, you know, keep receipts on me and send them in my, you know, on the Twitter machine and shit on me if I'm wrong. But
hey, Peyton Turner, you don't know how torn I was between corner and Peyton. I like Peyton Turner that much. Like, I think he is an edge rusher that is going to be a fucking baller. Like, yeah. I think he's a baller.
So, Firm, we usually go an hour. Let's take the last 10 minutes to answer some of these questions that are coming in.
Yeah, let's
go. All right, let's do that. Okay, so I wanted to go back to this one. Tyler, with his phone number at the end here, do you guys think there's a chance that Mike Shanahan has had a part of this process? Yes.
I want to hear yours. I want to hear why.
I would say yes, because Mike Shanahan's been involved since day one.
Like, since Kyle was born? That's what I think, because he's Kyle's dad.
Yeah. So. No. It's on record that Kyle Shanahan sends game tape and practice tape to Mike Shanahan. So yes, I think Mike is very much involved with this process. I don't know if he has much say, but I think he's going to his dad. Like, I think most guys go to their dad. Hey, Pop, what do you think about this?
Exactly.
What do you think about that? And if you can go to a Hall of Fame head coach who's had the opportunity to work with Joe, Steve, Elway, you know, so we can say what we want about some of his other quarterback selections. You know, he did like Jake Plummer. He had Jay Cutler. You know, he had a lot of guys that were rather good. So I would trust his judgment.
Absolutely.
You know, for all the shit he gets about Kirk Cousins, if you're getting that type of production out of a fourth round pick in Kirk Cousins, or he's turned into this type of player, you got the eval right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm gonna trust him.
That's fair.
What do you think? Since he was born?
Yeah, since he was born. Honestly, I mean, look, my father, I used to make fun of him all the time growing up. This guy would, the second he'd walk in the house, the sun would set, he'd close his shades, and he would always act like people were staring into our house. That was my dad's like weird quirk. He always was like, oh my God, the light's going out. You know, like, got to close the shades. And I'm like, Pop, who's staring? Like, what do you mean? Oh, you don't know. There's some weirdos out there just looking in the house, being weird. And I'm not lying. I have a house and I have my children, and I close the fucking shades when the sun, and it's not that it's like built into me. Like, I don't know why I do it, but I do exactly what I close it. And then I tell my kids, like, hey, someone could be staring in the fucking window. Like, can you please close this? And you can't help it. You was raised by a man who is a brilliant football mind, right? And he's been around the game forever. So absolutely, he's going to bounce ideas off him. What do you think? And the recipe is all similar, right? The quarterback stable that he's been able to work with, Mike, and then also the running game. I mean, yes, the game's evolved, but I mean, his dad's not a bad guy to be bouncing ideas off at all whatsoever, because he knows talent. Absolutely.
Let's take a couple more. Rumors, Gilmore to be traded this weekend. Do you guys like? Do I like Gilmore? Yes. Do I think the Niners trade for Gilmore? No. Part of it is just the money, really. I think they probably just want to go younger, develop their own guys, and go that way. So I don't dislike it. If they did it, cool. But I think, you know, there'd be a better use of resources to just develop some younger guys and take them in the draft. This draft has a really good corner class, I think.
Yeah. I'm surprised there's no Julio questions. No,
there
Julio.
Was one in here.
Was there one?
Let me go back. Well, I mean, I guess.
Intriguing. That's intriguing.
Would we take Julio Jones? It's a lot of money. Here we go. Javi, anything on Julio? I don't have anything on Julio. However, if Julio is available, I don't know if I'm making the trade, though. Mm. Your Julio.
It's intriguing.
Ayuk's not Julio, but what I'm saying is he has his guy. He has an Ayuk. He has a younger guy. It costs less. You know, the idea here is to keep things cost controlled for a while. And Julio's been banged up lately.
Towards the end
of his career.
It's an intriguing opportunity, absolutely. And there's something about seeing Julio Jones in a 49ers uniform with Kyle out there calling plays. And Justin Fields and our running, like, it's George Kittle. I mean, it's that's flashy, that's sexy. I like it. But with the cost, like you said, I mean, just from a financial standpoint, to be able to go now to a rookie contract, but then to tie up a lot of that money that you're saving right back into a wide receiver when you have, you know, two pretty good ones to begin with, I don't think financially makes a lot of sense. But as just a fan, and like maybe like a Madden guy, like that would be kind of cool to run out with those three. Debo, Brandon, and Julio would be kind of cool.
Absolutely. Jamar Johnson, safety of Indiana. I will not lie to you, James. I've only seen one game.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, with safety, the Niners got like 20 safeties on the roster. I don't know. I know I've watched Andre Sisco. I've watched Javon Holland. I like those guys. Jamar, I think the game I watched was the Ohio State game. I was more focused on Justin. So I would have to go back and watch. So I don't have very much to say about Jamar Johnson. I know he's good. I've heard really good things, but I have never like actually focused on him throughout a game.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much. I know he's a Florida boy and I know he's a stud. I know he's a really good player. I don't know how much that makes sense as a pick at that point, but he is a solid player from what I understand. But like you said, I may have seen one or two games altogether, but I know he's a good kid. I mean, I know he's a really good player.
Yeah. Let's see here. GRBeast24. He asks, who starts, Mosley or day two pick? Good question.
That's actually a really good question. And I hope
Depends on the day two pick. Is it, if it's Tyson Campbell, I think Tyson Campbell could beat out Mosley.
Yeah. And I think my hope is that pick challenges. I hope that actually becomes a conversation down the line that, you know, who, this kid's out here balling. Is he going to take Mosley's spot? because that's good. That's good shit right there. If that happens, I mean, that's, that just helps this team out altogether. So that means we're making the right pick if he's already competing for that starting spot. So,
yeah, let me get to Zach Greer here. Would you rank Asante Samuels Jr., CB1 or CB1? Serious inquiries only. Serious inquiry, I have him as CB6. Yeah. Horn, Surtain, Campbell, Stokes, and St. Juiced I like a lot. So, yeah, I would probably
put him. Oh, my God.
No, I got Samuels at 5. Samuels is 5. Samuels is 5.
Man, you're about to break my – I love Asante Samuel Jr. That kid, if somehow he was available later on in a first round, if you're able to move back in, and I know you went running back, but geez, man, I'd be hard pressed to pass up on it. And he's not going to be there, but whew, that kid is a baller.
There you go, Fern.
There we go. I appreciate that. Yeah, Javi's tripping with us. I would be all over that if he was available later on.
So let's go let's take 3 more. So let's go. What about Farley out of Virginia Tech? The back concerns me. I read a report that he injured his back doing deadlifts. So how's that going to work out in the NFL? You know, who knows? With back injuries, we all know the D-Ford stuff. Do you take another risk on a guy who has a back issue? I would not. I think Farley is an athletic freak. Maybe he can overcome it. He's young. But if I'm the Niners, they've had enough injury history. Try to take guys who don't have a long list of injury history on their resume. So I would probably go no with Caleb Farley.
Yeah. I mean, he's good, man. I mean, he's really good. It's shitty that we didn't even mention his name. I mean, that's like disrespectful that we didn't even mention him, because he is a baller with his size, speed. I mean, all of it, but I don't know. I don't know. I didn't even know too much about the back, to be honest with you. But like you said, I mean, back injuries are no joke. I don't know how serious it was, but you know, at what pick is that actually going down is my question is, what realistic pick? And I think it's going to be too high to even it be a possibility.
Okay. Last two. Here we go. Do we trust Brunskill or McGlinchey? I guess in what sense? Do I trust them as long-term solutions? I don't trust Brunskill as a long-term solution. I think they're going to look at getting a guard somewhere later in the draft. I also think they're going to be looking at a center in the draft. I think Brunskill does fairly well. He clarified in pass pro. I think Brunskill does fairly well in both. I think if you can upgrade, you will upgrade from him. With McGlinchey, I mean, they told you what they thought about him. They gave him his 5th-year option. That's like $10.5 million. I think he has this year to prove himself, and then after that, they'll see what they do. You know, if I'm the Niners, I'm definitely, you know, depending on how this 2021 season goes, I would assume that tackle becomes probably in their top 3 choices next year.
Yeah.
After the 2021 season, going into the 2022 draft. So I would do that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Brunskill, while I think he's a valuable player and can contribute in many ways, I just don't think he's that kind of guy that you feel comfortable not taking a good young draft pick, you know, if someone's available later on in the draft. McGlinchey, on the other hand, I am still very high. I know there was a lot of awful tape last year. I mean, there's some, like, it hurts, like, to see some of it, but I'm also high on how he finished the season. And I think the kid just has to get his head right. And as he continues to plug along, I think all the talent in the world is there. And I think we just got to get right, get the quarterback right. Let's give Mike another year under his belt. And I think he's going to prove himself. And I think he's going to earn himself a decent contract. Like I like the kid a lot. I just, he looks like a kind of grinder. He wasn't happy with how his performance was. He's seen plenty of stuff on Twitter. And I think it's going to be a big deal. Did someone say Mac? What was that? Mac and
no, Mac will help. As an Alex Mac.
Oh, I was hoping I would. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay.
We have PTSD before Mac Jones is even a Niner. Jesus Christ.
I saw Mac and I was like, wait, what?
All right.
Yes. I think we will as well. Absolutely.
All right. So, all right. I wanted to decide between these two questions. Hey, Vern, you go do more?
Let's do them. We're good.
Okay. Chances Hurd plays this year. I think the chances are 60-40 he plays. 60 he plays, 40 he doesn't. I had heard that he was progressing fairly well. It's an ACL tear, right? So you kind of expect the guy to come back from that. You know, it's not like he's 50 years old, you know? I think he has a shot to play. So I would put it at 60-40 that he plays this year. I kind of want to see it at the very least. Like, I'm at the Jerick McKinnon point. Like, just let me see what it looks like.
Exactly.
At least for a season, you know? Like, yeah. So I think he would be an option there.
He's going to get run. I think he's in that. I think he's going to, as long as, again, I think things are going well. And as long as he's healthy or relatively healthy, he's going to be out there because they have to see. I mean, there's no other way around. Just like Jared, like Jet, you got to go out there and we got to see what you can do. And the same thing with Hurd. I mean, I think there's a lot of upside and I just think it's a matter of let's get out there. Let's get healthy, get right. And show us what you can do. Because in the preseason, I mean, I got excited a couple. I was like, oh shit, there's going to be a problem in the red zone, especially with this kid. And unfortunately that didn't really pan out too well, but I think he's going to be out there. I think he's going to be out there. And I think he's going to surprise us. I mean, I think that's like icing on the cake, man. If that guy could be healthy and we can, that would be awesome.
All right. So let's see here. What top prospect do you guys see dropping down the draft this year? I'm going to go with Azeez Ojulari, edge rusher out of Georgia. I had read a report that he has a degenerative lower leg disorder based on his Indianapolis physical. So I think that's going to cause him to fall.
Wow.
That is unfortunate for the player and his future, but I think teams are going to look at the medicals and be like, do we risk it taking him, you know, 15, 16, 17 in that range, kind of, you know, before the Mac Jones, not the Mac Jones, before the trade up to 12, I had thought Azeez would be a really good pick at 12, but now knowing he has that lower leg issue, maybe he falls into middle round two, where you can kind of just take it easy on him, you know, kind of like Harold Landry. Remember Harold Landry had the ankle issue at Boston College. It kind of caused him to fall. So similar in that situation, I think he could fall to round two.
Yeah. That's a good one. Look, I mean, I know I've said it a couple times and he's already dropped because of some injuries in the past is my man, Payne Turner. I think if Payne Turner never misses time, 2018, I think it was like a foot. I mean, he's missed some time over his collegiate career. I think that kid, I don't know. I think at the very least he's a lower end of the first round. I mean, he is a fucking stud edge. I'm a big fan. And again, this is super biased to me, but he's already fallen. And I think he's one of those guys that you could get really lucky later on as, you know, things start turning. Once you start moving on in the rounds, now it becomes like, maybe it's a little more need based and they need this, you know, now we got to make sure we pick this. And I think that kid can drop even for a little further than what he's projected currently.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one when we're out of here. Well, last one. Last one when we're out of here.
Come on, man. It's already midnight. It's already Wednesday for me, man. So you.
What are your plans for draft night Thursday? I will be probably drinking a beer and doing a podcast.
Okay.
Or drinking a beer and celebrating while doing a podcast. Mm. So it just depends on the pick, right?
Yeah.
What are you? You're out of town, Fern, huh?
I will be flying to Omaha, Nebraska to cross that one off my bucket list. I'm kidding. I don't want to go to Omaha, Nebraska at all. No offense to anyone who lives in Omaha, but I'll be going there. My daughter's got a volleyball tournament, so I'll be traveling out there, but I will be all over my phone throughout the course of the night. We'll probably link up when I land, you know, to discuss what has transpired while I was up in the air. So that's what I got going on Thursday.
Right on. And then last one here, this is for me. This is the draft hat from the Mike McGlinchey year. So you have to pretty much kind of have to Google it, I guess. I don't even think they make it anymore. So
I think he wants the Javier like sweat. Like he wants the Javier worn 49ers hat. I think that's what he's.
I mean, maybe a giveaway.
A Javier autographed 49ers hat.
Yeah, I could do that. But yeah, let's get out of here. My wife is texting me, yelling at me to get downstairs, help with the baby. And you got to work.
You better go.
But yes, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Sorry we're so late tonight. Got out of work late. Fernando got out of work and other stuff. So we are here if you need us. Always follow us on Twitter. You guys know where to find me at @JavierVague_. Follow my guy, Fernando.
DZ0880.
And then, of course, everything on Twitter at Fourth Angle Podcast and then at the website at 49ers Goldmine. We will talk to you guys post-draft.
Let's go.
Fields at 3, baby. Fields at 3.
Fields.